Good evening, everybody. What's going on, Philadelphia? It is Thursday, July 30th. It is the last show you will hear from us before the Eagles hit training camp. That's right. So on Saturday, we got training camp going on, Eagles fever going. As always, I'm your host, Justin Emery, recording out of the Red Sound Studios in Warrington, PA, hanging out along the table here with my co-host, Michael Irano, joining me tonight.
Hey, how's everybody doing? And I'll tell you, I'm pretty excited about this new football season. I mean, other than the Cole Hamill news, the baseball news of the last couple weeks with the Phillies being 9-2 since the All-Star break, is the only thing that's giving me a little hope, a little bump, but now only a week away from training camp for the Eagles, not even. You got to be pretty excited about this team and about the turnover, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Definitely. We've got an action-packed show for tonight. We'll be going from now to 9 o'clock. We're going to start off the show by talking about a little touchy subject. So I've tried to separate myself, you know, as I get older, from the players, you know, looking up to, like, the athlete, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think perhaps the last Philly athlete that might have any kind of bearing on that to me just got traded yesterday.
Yeah, and it's really true. And it's really sad to see him go. That's a guy who was a homegrown talent in Cole Hamill. You know, you hope that he would spend his whole career here. That almost never happens anymore. It's a completely different ever. And first thing, before we talk about the trade, I want to, Justin, this. Where would you rank Cole Hamill as in best pitchers ever for the Philadelphia Phillies?
I'd put him at 4.
4. That's a pretty decent spot. I mean, the Phillies have had a few really great pitchers. You got to go number one. Everybody's favorite, Steve Carlton.
Yeah, and I don't think that it's...
He has the hardware.
I don't think it's close either.
Right, he has the hardware, he has the win. It's hard to go away from that. And then Curt Schilling was a great pitcher for here for a long time. Who knows, in 5-10 years when you look back, maybe Cole Hamill can be looked at as better than him, but he needs to play more baseball before then for me. I actually saw a stat on Cole Hamill today. He's 110-15 when the Phillies have scored 4 or more runs. So he's a guy, if you put runs on the board, he's a tough man to beat. And he's been so with a few different pitching styles. He's a guy who went from maybe 2-pitch guy with high velocity to a guy who throws all his pitches around the zone.
So, I mean, who else would you put up there in the top? Curt Schilling.
It'd be hard to not put him third, but there's another Philly Hall of Famer.
Robin Roberts. I mean, Grant, he played a while ago. I mean, he retired in the 60s.
But you know, you still can't forget your past.
And he won 286 games. He's a member of the Hall of Fame. You know, 7-time All-Star. 4 times he led all of baseball in wins. 2-time strikeout champion, and the Phillies retired as number 36. That's the guy who has the big 36.
Right, isn't there a statue of him?
Yeah, there's a statue of him outside, I believe, the first base gate, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to take him off. But, you know, by that standard, he's on the Mount Rushmore. And I feel he's got a lot of gas left in the tank.
Who, Cole?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
he's
not
only 31.
Done by any stretch. I mean, he's a guy who could lose a little more velocity and still be a very effective pitcher.
Well, the thing is his whole career, he's never actually thrown what he can.
No, because they've taught him to conserve himself to go deeper in game. I mean, he's had 200-plus innings in the last 5 of the last 10 years, the last 5 years in a row.
Yeah, I mean, when he was in high school, I remember, I've read, past scouting reports of him over the years. When he was coming out of high school, he was throwing 98, 99.
And he threw that early in his career, 96, 97, 98, but they told him, slow it down, 94, 93, locate that changeup in that fastball, develop your other pitches. Now he's got a cutter that he throws. He throws a curveball. and a changeup and a fastball. Now you're a four-pitch pitcher, you know, and he still has the arm to throw a 92-mile-an-hour cutter, which, by the way, is the only pitch that the late, great Mariano Rivera threw.
He threw that same pitch for 20 years.
And nobody could hit it. The only thing that really took injury, you know what I mean? He fell with the fly ball, and he probably was like, after I come back from that and he had a year, I'm like, I'm done anyway.
Yeah.
But let's now, after we gave our tribute to Cole, let's dive into this trade.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. They traded away Hamels and Jake Diekman, but they got five players back. They got
six.
Well,
five
prospects,
right,
and one guy who's just not going to be here.
I mean, but he'll be here next year probably, because you're going to need somebody in the meantime.
Yeah, I mean, it's Matt Harrison. He's the MLB
but
pitcher.
He hasn't played even this year, I don't think.
No, he's a lefty. Left-handed pitcher.
Right.
Left-handed reliever. Then we have Jorge Alfaro. He's the number one catching prospect in all of minor leagues.
Now, the only thing that I'm unhappy with this about is the Phillies had supposedly a pretty good catching prospect, but now let's see what they can turn him into, maybe a trade or something, because we have a good backup catcher with Rupp right now,
yeah,
who showed and actually, he's a good friends with someone I grew up with. They grew up with in Texas. My girlfriend's cousin used to play with him on a double A.
Oh, that's pretty cool. The thing though about Alfaro though is that he's a power hitting catcher.
That's very rare.
He could one day end up at first base.
And that's true too. So I love the, and really this trade is going to be judged by, I know there's a few pitchers and you're going to see maybe, you know, if one of them doesn't come out, then, you know the trade was a failure. But
they also got Nick Williams, the outfielding prospect.
And you got to say that anything in our outfield was going to be better than what we've had the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Our outfield is terrible.
So, you know, the only thing that I'm upset about, I don't know if I saw an article that said that their two best slugging prospects we missed out on. They were really happy to hold on to them. But, you know, we've seen this before. Who knows if they really even wanted them and valued them. I mean, I remember a time when Dominic Brown was the talk of everybody in the league, and you could have gotten any player in Major League Baseball for Dominic Brown.
Jason Hayward from the Atlanta Braves?
Yeah. At a point in time, he was the most valuable player. They thought he was going to be the Mike Trout or the Bryce Harper.
Wait, real quick, we need to talk about Mike Trout. He just hit his 30th and MLB leading home run over the weekend.
If he's a guy who leads the league in home runs, I mean, there's no real question about who's the best player in baseball. And I'd to see him get a World Series this year. And they still have Pujols, too. So, I mean, that's a team who, if you get into the race, you know Pujols is going to be hot for the playoffs. And I don't know, I'd like to see them this year. I haven't been that interested in baseball, but coming down the stretch, I mean, you know, the later the months get, the more interested I am. Especially the Phillies have always been a late team, a late blooming team. They've always been an August team.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter for this year. But.
No, but so that's why I've been a little less interested in baseball as a whole. But, you know, that and the Papelbon trade today, you finally get rid of him.
The Papelbon trade was a couple days ago.
Yeah, but this is still, you know, the week of, basically. So what you get out of Papelbon is, you know, another player who is one of the best prospects, you know, top 100 prospects in the league. And on top of that, they're going to pay most of his money next year and this year. You can finally get rid of him, and you let your kid Giles, who looks like a really good pitcher and is going to be a good closer for us for a long time.
100-mile Giles.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a big improvement, a big lift to the team. The team gets younger immediately, and it's a way for maybe Ruben Amaro to try to save his job.
He won't.
I don't think it's going to happen. The only thing that I'm upset about, I would like to see them wait, because what I heard from the Phillies when they made their hire was they were going to implement an analytic system to judge Prosby in September. And now you're going to tell me you're making this trade in July. So to me, it's like, well, what real, other than like what everybody else is telling you, what research have you done on these players, and how do you trust the guys who've done that research? This isn't your new organization. You could have waited till next year, in you know, next July even, not even in the offseason. It's not like this trade is going to make us better this year.
Yeah, but the thing is teams, there's a lot of quality starting pitching, especially quality starting left-handed pitching available in free agency. So you won't be able to get as much then as you will now. They got,
I mean, you
all
always
they
need
could.
A guy like Cole Hamels.
Yeah, but I mean, if a team cannot part with their prospects and go out and sign David Price,
the biggest
they do that.
Thing crippling the Phillies was Cole Hamels himself, because he had a no trade clause. So we needed to give him a trade. He probably
was he a
was
5-10 player? Ten years of service in the pros, 5 years on the same team, you get an automatic no trade clause.
He must be, because he has 10 years in the pros and 10 years for the Phillies.
Yeah, does he have 10 years in the pros?
But I think that was part of the deal too. I mean the money he got last year, but even still, so he was kind of the one leveraging you to make the move, and he turned down a deal to go to Houston.
Yeah.
You can't really blame him there. He'd rather go to, you know, Texas, definitely, yeah. The Rangers. If you're going to go to Texas,
yeah.
Might as well play for the Rangers, a team who's been competing, and there's a market for you.
Yeah. Now.
And he doesn't have to play in any more cold weather.
That's true. Now, if you're looking to build upon these prospects, how many players right now do you see on the roster that you can build around?
I mean, I'll have to say this.
Excuse me.
You have a good prospect
like,
at third base.
As I look at it, there's only 5 players on this current MLB roster that are here for the future. And that's Michael Franco at third base.
Definitely Michael Franco.
I think he's
the, you know what,
top
I'll
one.
Tell you this. Galvis has proven to me that he can play.
Yeah, we got Ken Giles.
Ken Giles, definitely. I want to look at more of the position. Because you're not going to win in the majors unless
you
have...
You need a closer. You need a closer.
You do need a closer, but you need a full lineup. So
I think Cesar Hernandez has yet... Can be there. Can be one of them. Second baseman.
See, then I guess you're moving Galvis to
shortstop.
But they have don't they have a shortstop who's coming up next year?
No.
I thought they had a good shortstop for the future.
Galvis. He is that guy.
I thought there was another prospect.
And then obviously Aaron Nola.
Aaron Nola as your pitcher, but you're going to need another pitcher. You know, you're going to need 3-4 more pitchers. Because really, they don't have anybody else.
Well, no, what I'm saying here.
And a few other guys who've pitched this year decently.
Then if you can pull out, you know, these 2 prospects, you now add 2 more guys to that, 2 everyday players.
So then you're going to get rid of the money from
the Howard deal.
Utley. Well, Howard has another 2 years after this year.
Yeah, but they can buy him out.
So it's 1 more year than a buyout clause.
Yes.
So,
and they're going to buy out Cliff Lee this year.
Right, so they're going to buy out Cliff Lee, and they're going to, but that goes on the salary cap.
Yeah, but what it doesn't
it's
matter.
Less, you know what I mean?
Less, he's gone.
So they'll be able to get a guy or two this year, but you're probably not going to be able to lure many free agents.
No.
So really, you
and the real potent free agents are all pitchers. You need everyday players.
Right, and that's the big thing for them. They need to wait and try to hit all pitching in the draft and develop pitching, because they're going to need, you know, 2 or 3 relievers and 3 or 4 more starting pitchers. That's if Aaron Nola is the guy who's going to be there as your number one. And number one pitchers are hard to find. So if you're going to trade Cole Hamels, you got to show me now that you have a plan for this.
Definitely.
It's not like basketball. You can't just tank and get good.
Yeah. Now, before we switch to what we really want to talk about, what's your best Hamels moment? your favorite Hamels moment, I guess I should say?
It has to be.
I mean, because, like, you are in the same position as I am. When Hamels first came up, you were in high school.
Right, so that was when I really started. Like, he was that's why I still say he, over the last, you know, if you're going to look at in baseball right now, maybe there's a few pitchers you could say are better than him, maybe Clayton Kershaw. But over the last 5 years, Cole Hamels is a household name. He is one of the best five pitchers in all of baseball. Maybe his numbers don't always dictate that as far as wins and losses, but he's there with ERA. He's competed with Halladay and Lee. But my favorite moment has to be the World Series. I mean, you got to go 2008. I mean, he did something that only one other pitcher did in Major League Baseball history. You know, and win
five
games.
He was only 23 when he
should have won the sixth game.
Yeah.
If not for torrential downpours, if not for God himself intervening, Cole Hamels would have had the most wins in a playoff. He would have had the best year a pitcher ever had. He should have won the Cy Young that year.
Yeah, he should have won a couple. Well, I don't know. There was a couple of seasons in there where Tim Lincecum was crazy.
It's true, but, you know, look at Tim Lincecum now. Completely different player.
Yeah. The thing is like
Cole Hamels has consistently been dominant.
Well, take this into account. He now doesn't have to bat. He's switched to the American League.
He's a pretty good batter.
Yeah.
I think he liked the bat.
He
gets better. He's going to get better run support down there.
He has a career home run, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe, I believe he's a home run.
Well, he got real competitive here with
him and Cliff Lee.
Him, Cliff Lee, and Halladay, even after that. Like, the three of them were very competitive with each other. And you saw Cole Hamels pitched his best baseball like that, which is crazy to think about because of the year he had in 2008 and even 2007 as well.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that Hamels won the World Series, but I think my favorite Hamels moment is when he just intentionally beamed Bryce Harper in the back.
He showed his loyalty. That was the first. You know what? That was his first response to. You're getting traded.
What?
And you think about it.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying around the time that happened, it was like the first time you heard like that all season that Cole Hamels might be moved in the next couple years because the team was starting to fall apart.
Yeah, I have to look up exactly.
That was kind of his, you know, coup de grace of I'm a Philly guy, I'm a tough guy, and I'm not going to go down quietly. Go down with, you know what I mean? He showed you that. And now you see what you do to him and you kind of push him to a point where you're like, the Phillies are so bad.
It was 2012. Yeah, it was 2012.
So it was after.
Spending five games for hitting Bryce Harper after admitting that it was intentional.
Yeah, he said, yeah, sometimes guys do that. You know what I mean? But really, he only got suspended one start. Five games for a pitcher.
Yeah. That's got to probably be like, it was just so funny.
It is a great moment.
I remember watching it with my dad.
He got hit.
And then, like, I was like, he didn't just, like, miss. Like, he hit Bryce Harper right square in the middle of his back.
Was that the first time Bryce Harper went up to bat against him?
Yeah, I would think it was his first ever pitch against the Philly. Because it happened in the beginning of May. It was in the dead beginning
right.
of the season.
Right, that's what I mean.
Bryce Harper's rookie
year. I think
that
was his coming out and, you know, you knew Young Buck.
Yeah, like
great A
like,
player,
yeah.
And Cole Hamels is like not in here.
Sit down, tadpole.
This is the ball.
He's like sit down, young buck. Yeah, that's got to be up there.
Yeah, it's gonna be sad to see him go. One guy I'm not sad to see go is Papelbon.
Paps, yeah.
You know now.
I heard him make some not so bright comments the other day.
When does he make a bright comment?
Well, no, he was talking about what it's like to shower with the other bullpen players in Washington. I read it. Nice. I read it on Cross and Broad before we came here.
Yeah.
he's in there comparing slider grips with the bullpen pitchers while he's in the shower.
That doesn't sound.
Yeah, man.
I mean, on whose ball?
Oh man!
All right, but on that topic, let's jump away from the toilet bowl Phillies, who now don't have, or it's yet another team who has gotten rid of, is going to get rid of every player who I have a jersey for by next year. I have a Chase Utley jersey, but that's, he's basically gone.
He's gone. The thing is, I conveniently have a spring training jersey that doesn't have anybody's name on the back of it.
That's a good buy.
Yeah.
That's what you need to buy for the Phillies.
Yeah. Amber got it for me. So,
I mean, even for the Eagles now, I want to know who to get. I kind of want a Bradford jersey, but I'm not ready to jump in.
No.
And that is going to be what I want to segue with, because I want to ask you a question. If Bradford, outside of Bradford, who do you think is the most interesting thing to watch? Who are you going to watch the closest in training camp? What position battle?
Well, hold on. That answer is twofold. To answer it, your question said what's most important, right?
Right.
I think that most important could be Ryan Matthews.
Right, the second running back. That's a good take, because it really is going to be up to him to be there for DeMarco to take the rest that he needs.
Yeah, I think that Ryan Matthews could – I don't want to say that he's going to be, you know, we only go as far as Ryan Matthews takes us, but he could have a monster impact on how far we go.
He could, because I don't think DeMarco gets 20 carries a game even. I think it's going to be split 15-15-10. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but as far as what position battle I'm looking at, it's the secondary, the entire secondary. Because only half of it is a lock.
That's true.
Jenkins and
You have two good starters, and even one Maxwell. Of those starters is a guy who hasn't played a snap for us and hasn't played a snap without arguably the best corner in the NFL.
And two of the best safeties behind him.
Right.
A all-pro secondary.
I will say this, Cam Chancellor might be on the free agent market coming soon.
They just re-signed him.
Was it him? Did they sign him too?
They signed all three of them. Yeah, Earl Thomas. And Sherm.
They signed Sherm.
I'm pretty sure they all got signed. I'll pull that up right now, but I'm almost positive they're all.
Well, what I've heard is that the newest with Russell Wilson is he's not moving off his $25 million.
And he said if it's not signed by midnight tonight, he's tabling talks.
Till the end of the year.
Yep.
And he's willing to do that. He'll get a deal. So what I heard is he
took out that insurance policy. Did you hear about that?
Right.
He took out a $10 million insurance policy that if he gets a career-ending injury,
right,
he gets, you know, $10 million.
Right. So he'll be able to live off that. Either way, though.
He's got plenty of endorsements.
But what I've heard is think they might try to move Cam Chancellor to secure more money for Russell Wilson, because they can't keep that together. They have to sign Bobby Wagner. They have to sign, you know, a few other guys as well. So it's going to be tough for them. I mean, that's why you look at the Eagles, and even though you're like, oh, Sam Bradford's making $13 million, you're like, you're not really spending. I mean, when you look at the top, you know, 4, 5, 6 teams in the NFL, let's say Seattle, they're going to have to pay their quarterback, you know, upwards of $20 million. Green Bay is going to has to pay Aaron Rodgers over $20 million a year.
Aaron Rodgers, I believe, is making $22 million.
Dallas, I mean, Tony Romo even has a $100 million contract, you know what I mean, over 4 or 5 years. Then New England, Tom Brady, I think Tom Brady makes the least out of the guys I just said at like 19. The same thing with Peyton Manning makes $20 million a year. And another guy who's up for the same kind of contract is Andrew Luck. And he's kind of going to set the market, because Andrew Luck is not going to let a guy who was drafted the same year as him after him, right? That was Andrew Luck's draft, if I'm correct.
What was that?
That's the whole quarterback class, correct? Andrew Luck,
RG3,
Russell Wilson. And Nick Foles.
And Ryan Tannehill?
Yes, Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. So that's a very deep quarterback draft. For as many starting quarterbacks as it's put into the NFL. But even though Russell Wilson has the Super Bowl, he has a million times better team. If you
This came out yesterday. Sources say Seattle Seahawks safety Cam Chancellor wants more money and has told Seattle he might hold out. This just came across yesterday.
That's what I'm saying.
I just saw though that last year was the first year on his new contract.
Right, but I think it was
He's pulling a TL.
Well, it was one of those. I think he realized that he got duped because it was one of those backloaded 5-year, 3-year guaranteed contract, and then he probably realized that he's going to get thrown under the bus because of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, no, they still have Cam Chancellor this season and 3 seasons beyond it.
Right, but I think only this season and the next season are guaranteed, I would bet. Because usually on a 5-year deal, there's only 3 guaranteed.
It was a 4-year deal.
It was a 4-year deal?
Yeah.
It was all guaranteed?
It might be.
It might be with a 4-year deal, but I still think I think the last year would probably be a team option.
4 years, $34 million.
So, yeah, he got boned for, you know what I mean, being probably the second best safety in the NFL, you know, at least up in the conversation.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, like...
But you can't pay all them. That's why you look at the Eagles and you're like, okay, if they pay Jenkins and they pay Maxwell...
He's making about $8.7 million a year.
That's a lot to pay when you got a $12 million player next to him.
But I'm saying, at what point... Like, how much is the safety position worth?
I mean, on average, it's a $4 or $5 million position. So, like, if you look at your team from a mathematical standpoint, you have, what, about $120, $130 million for cap?
I think it's more than that. I think it's like 160.
Either way, so it's somewhere in that. So you can't, if you're going to have a $20 million quarterback and then 12-8 as your safeties, you can't have a $12 million corner.
Well, listen to this. Earl Thomas was 4-year, $40 million. Cam Chancellor was 4-year, $34 million. And we got $6 million less than Earl Thomas.
Well, then Earl Thomas, I mean, they got lucky to get Earl Thomas for that. They bought them both in as you get paid and you win.
They got both of them for, you know, $74 million.
But now, what is Richard Sherman getting paid?
I think his is a monster deal.
His is bigger than that. This is like 4 years, $50 million.
But the thing is that like corners are worth more than...
Well, they're worth more than safety. That's why Eric Rowe is out there at quarterback right now.
4 years, $56
million. $56 million. So for them to pay those three guys and now try and pay Russell Wilson, you see the predicament they're in. It's not looking pretty for Seattle Seahawks. Not saying that they will be... You know, if they only... Because they just signed Marshawn Lynch, too. So if they only lose Russell Wilson and they put another semi-capable quarterback, now they might not go to 2 straight Super Bowls with the guy, but I could see plenty of wins in the future for a team with Marshawn Lynch in that defense.
Yeah, but how long is Lynch going to be here? 30?
2 or 3 more years you're going to give him. I mean, he's a guy who doesn't look like to be aging at all. You know, even if he gets a little older, you just throw him some extra Skittles, and he'll be fine. So I'm not worried about, you know, a freak of nature like Marshawn Lynch over the next 2 or 3 years. Because it seems like the newer team, that's kind of how they're looking at it. You know, they don't look at you as a player, at least for the Eagles. It's not a player of what you're going to do this year. We're going to do it for us over the next 3 years. That's
the
window.
I have the Seahawks contracts up by individual player right here. Highest paid player. This is for this year.
Right.
Sherman, number one.
Oh, yeah.
Marshawn Lynch, number two. Jimmy Graham, number three.
And see, now they just added another big contract like that. So it almost looks like they're going, it's a winner go home, all go home year.
Michael Bennett is 4. Cliff Avril is
exactly.
5.
Exactly. Look at all these players.
Earl Thomas is 6. Russell Okuda is 7.
And they're all over what? Now they're all, we're about $7 million.
Yeah.
Per player.
Now we're moving
so
down
you
to
got,
5
what,
million.
8 players. Eight, you know what I mean? You got
don't forget, Kerry Williams is making 4.7.
You got probably 11 players on your roster accounting for half your salary.
And you don't forget, you still have dead money from Percy Harvin, too.
Right. So, exactly. So, like, you have about $80 million out of that 160 that's basically to one half of your starting 22. That's hard. That's hard now. You better not. You cannot miss on any draft picks. And now, where are you going to find $23 million? Because what's Russell Wilson making? $3 million? Not even?
I think he's making 1.4.
1.4. So where do you find $24 million for Russell Wilson? You can't do it. So that's why they're in the predicament. That's why they haven't signed him. And that's why the Eagles may get him next year. Because we will have that much money to give him. And if there's one guy who could budget around that, we already have a young defense, money already allocated there, running back signed for the next 3 years. You know what I mean? You have a team where you can bring him here and he can succeed for the next 3 years. You already have a quarterback making $13 million on your roster. And the Eagles this year, coming out of this year, free up another $20 million in dead money from all the trades and cuts and everything they've done.
Here, I have a couple of things broken down from sportingnews.com. They have $10.2 million free cap.
What? Seahawks?
Yeah, they have $10.2 right. million free cap. Their largest hit is Richard Sherman at 12.2. The best value is Russell Wilson at 1.7.
Oh, yeah.
The worst value is Brandon Mebane at $5.7 million.
He's a bum. Was he a lineman?
D-line, yeah. Also, it has they have nearly 10% of their cap is dead money.
Well, see, and that's money that's going to clear up next year, but they're going to have to make some tough decisions to get rid of enough cap to make room for Russell Wilson. Why don't you take a look at the Eagles? Because as another team where you're looking at this year and you say, you know, this is the year. You're looking at a team who's going to have even more cap next year to deal with than they've had this year.
Yeah, I'll get to that, but I got some points I need to run down. To
yeah, let's go. Let's go with some Eagles. Drop the knowledge.
Well, let me get my little sheet out here. All right. My question for you is, who are those on-the-bubble players that might have been on the roster last year, not going to be this year?
Now,
might not have been on the roster last year, but will be this year.
I'm going to go with one guy I'm going to say in based off some relationship, and and I'm going to refer to him as Two. The receiver who came from San Diego with Ryan Matthews, and he's a guy who's going to fight and grind his way from a receiver standpoint onto special teams and onto this roster because of his longer frame and his ability to fight his way. But as far as we were players who were on the bubble, there are some guys we were talking about on the way over here that I'm going to mention. First of all is Earl Wolf. Then we have Jalen Lockett. And third, we have Ed Reynolds. Now, to me, I think only one of these players has a spot on this team. Ed Reynolds now, he's the guy who may get a practice squad spot if he doesn't make it. But I feel like Jalen Watkins has had 2 years now. This is going to be his, you know what I mean? This is going to be his, what, second year in the league or even third year?
Second year.
Or what's third year? They're guys who you're going to need to see something from in this training camp, especially Earl Wolf. He's the guy who really has the most to prove, and I believe he can prove it. I think he's the best talent of on the bubble players who's been injuries that stunted him, and he's had a really good rookie campaign.
Let me ask you this. Now, obviously, he will hopefully never have to see the field. What are your thoughts about Tim Tebow beating out Matt Barkley, though? I really think that he will. Especially, did you see that workout video Tebow posted? Did you see it?
I didn't see the video, but...
Yo, let me tell you about this little workout he was doing. So, you know how on the leg press, you know, say you're at the gym, you're on the leg press, that, you know, you put your feet on, like, the platform, you push the chair back? It's on a track, you know what I'm saying? Well, this specific leg press he was on was, like, on, like, a swing. So it was like an explosion drill. Like, you press off, and, like, you explode off. So I don't know how much weight was on there, but it was all the way up. But you couldn't put any more weight on there.
No one's going to discount the fact of the type of athlete that Tim Tebow is. But can he beat out to be the third quarterback on a Chip Kelly team.
Yeah, I think
he's here to push Barkley.
I think that he's more what's the word I'm looking for? Versatile than Barkley is.
But you already have that quarterback versatility convert. And you know, I mean, Tim Tebow is almost here to replace G.J. Kinney. And his fourth, you know what I mean? So, to me, if G.J. Kinney makes the roster in any way, shape, or form, like, they're the two, that's the guy he's competing with. Because I think Matt Barkley has looked good enough in the spring, and he can further that, and he'll get more playing time than Tebow with better players, and he'll look good enough because his pedigree is just, he's built better for the NFL. He's built better for Chip Kelly's offense. So I like Tim Tebow. It's going to be down to the wire. And the fact that he'll be able to get late drives in games, that's really what best suits him, the best time of the game for him. I still think that Barkley shows enough improvement and it kind of lights a fire under him to perform at his best. I think that's why Tim Tebow is here. He's here to push Barkley in a sense.
Yeah.
And for Chip to take a look at him and see, you know, if he can win with this guy.
Yeah, the thing is, Matt Barkley doesn't bring anything to the table. And I think that while Tebow doesn't bring much to the table either, for example.
There's no reason to say that Matt Barkley couldn't be a Mark Sanchez type.
I don't think his arm's strong enough.
But, I mean, that's Mark Sanchez.
No. Matt Barkley played at USC and got to play with the top college talent in the whole country.
All the receivers got drafted in the first two rounds.
So, I mean, when you play on a college team with, say, 30 starters.
But wait, who was on Tim Tebow's team is in college, too?
Well, yeah.
See, we're talking about, you know, the same conundrum for both these guys, which is pretty apt that they're
the
up against
is
each other.
The thing is that one of the two of them was good in college. Like, at no point in time was Matt Barkley going to be a first-round pick. Now,
no, that's not true. If he didn't play his last year and get hurt,
that's because of just how bad the class was.
Well, it's very true, but, I mean, it's just the quarterback league. And that injury, I mean, it's almost what you saw from Mark Sanchez last year. I mean, you didn't see any passes more than 15 yards down the field from him. And they said he suffered from dead arm. But what I've heard from both Barkley and Sanchez so far in the spring was that both their arms have shown improvement. They both now how much improvement and is it enough? Who knows? But the one thing I heard from our friend Jimmy Kemsky, I think it was, about Tim Tebow was he said between the time the snap Tebow snapped the ball, I made a sandwich and came back before he threw it.
Yeah.
So as much as versatile as Tim Tebow can be, I agree with you there. He has to show that he can pass the football and quickly and efficiently and run the Chip Kelly offense because he's going to need to perform at 120% and run and run and run to show Chip Kelly that maybe I can do it with this guy on Sundays. Because the third Chip Kelly thinks this year the third quarterback may see time. He's got a plan to say, what if Bradford – doesn't make it to the season. Sanchez will not play 16 games. The third quarterback on my roster has to be able to run the offense. I need three good quarterbacks now because of the chance I took going from Foles to Bradford. He's like, the upside is there, you know what I mean? But I think what Chip Kelly learned last year is that he thinks he can win the same amount of games with Sanchez as he did with Foles. I think he valued them as the same player.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they kind of are as far, like, I don't think.
If Foles is a 10, Sanchez is an 8.9.
I mean.
So, really, for Chip Kelly, that's what I really saw from the move that he made. He saw that he had two quarterbacks who, you know, were game managers. So, what am I going to do? What am I going to go in the next season with these same two game managers and hope that my defense and everything else gets better? No, I'm going to take a chance because I want to be a champion. I'm not okay with 10 and 6. 11-5, just floating around. I want to be 13-2. I want to go and be dominant. I want to win the Super Bowl. That's why I play in the NFL. That's why I'm here. And that's what he did. He made the trade for Sam Bradford, for better or worse. He's married to him now for at least a year. I think they're going to sign him no matter what happens. Really, you almost hope that he has, you know what I mean, a bad first half of the year and comes back, you know, maybe something smaller. So you don't have to pay him what he really, I mean, he could have a big year and get a huge contract. He could be asking for Russell Wilson. I mean, maybe not Russell Wilson. I mean, but you see what Joe Flacco is getting paid. You're talking about a guy who was the number one overall draft pick. So don't sneeze at that. We saw the revitalization of, you know, none other than Alex Smith, who was thought to be a bust for years, but now is still playing in the NFL and has been in the playoffs. You know what I mean? He's still been a guy who went to NFC Championship game. So you can win with these guys. And look at Drew Brees even. Drew Brees has a Super Bowl. He was traded after a few shoulder injuries, and he wasn't big enough, and he wasn't strong enough, and it wasn't going to happen because he's always going to get hurt, and blah, 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 blah. But who won out of Phillip Rivers or, you know, Eli Manning? Who won? I mean, Philip, you know, Eli Manning has the two Super Bowls. So you got to go there. Now you go back to Drew Brees. I mean, he was also a guy who was traded and ended up better off. So there's plenty of times you've seen quarterbacks move and guys moving, find the right situation. And he's back with the offensive coordinator where he had his success as a rookie. So it's hard for me to say if he plays 16 games, we're not a tough team. And that's where I'm going to move next. I'm sick of talking about whether Bradford is or isn't. This is what we're going to see. So I'm going to make a harsh thing right now. I'm going to say, take out the health. And now, if it's just Sam Bradford, if he's here all 16 games, where do they rank in the NFL? Who can they compete with? And me and my co-hosts here have a pretty nice place for them, I think. They can definitely move up, and it, just because they are where they are doesn't mean we don't think that they can win a game on the road in the playoffs under these circumstances. First off, we're going to go with the NFC.
Well, real quick, hold on. I don't know if you heard about the Virtua orthopedic doctor that was on today on the doing.
Oh, today?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been on before, but like his latest one was
right.
Today. Talking about. Because they ran some kind of tests on like ACL tears, and he was there like trying to like break it down into like layman's terms. Anyway, there's only a 1-3% chance of reaggravation due to an injury like that.
So
there's a 97-99% chance that
it won't happen. Even amongst NFL players.
They've probably done
that. You know, that's probably the stat, you know, got to. I mean, obviously, if you're sitting on your couch, you're not going to.
Well, yeah, you're not going to.
Very ACL again.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a great statistic. You know, you know that.
I mean, well, everybody keeps harping on, oh, well, there's still a 1-3% increase. Well, it's a 1-3% like increased chance it could happen.
Nothing.
Well, my argument to that is.
Knows that 3% is nothing.
Well, my argument to that is there's still 97% chance that it doesn't.
It's really, if you look at it, though, the difference between Foles and a healthy Bradford is exponential. I mean, you're looking at a guy, I mean, not to put him, I mean, with Tom Brady or anybody like that, but you're looking at a guy who could be a top five quarterback in the NFL right now with this offense.
Right? Yeah, Bradford.
I mean, when you put him with his college running back and two backup running backs behind them to really
don't sleep on our line either.
Right, don't sleep on the offensive line. And believe me, Chip Kelly did what he did for his guards because he wanted big run-blocking guards.
Now, would you be surprised if, you know, at the end of training camp, if Mathis isn't signed, we bring him back?
Nah, he'll feel disgraced. He would, and that's crazy to me that he's still not signed. That shows you
that the league agrees with him.
Right. That the Eagles believe that anybody who played between Kelce and Peters over the last 4 years would have been a great guard.
Yeah.
And even before Kelce, we had a good center.
Yeah, and
the Eagles have been blessed.
For some reason, I can't think of his name right now.
It's pretty true. But the Eagles have been blessed with a good offensive line for a long time. And that's
Jamal Jackson.
Right, and that's not going to change anytime soon. You know? You still got bookends. And I think this is going to be Lane Johnson's breakout year. As much as the lineman can have a breakout year. This is going to be a year where he cements himself as one of the best in the league at the right tackle position.
I agree. Now, we're going to get back to the Eagles, but I want to do a quick NFL, you know, around the league real quick. So, what do you think? You know how we usually do with the knee-jerk reaction? We'll do that, but with NFL-only headlines.
I like it.
Brady suspension upheld. Complete
bullshit.
Four games.
Bullshit. I can't believe it. I can't wait till the NFL gets pwned. I mean, doesn't it show guilt that you don't even wait for Brady to sue you back? You go to the court first. Doesn't that just show you know you're boned? Like the man said, the owner of the New England Patriots, Bob Kraft, said, only a lawyer would give you that, tell you to do that. Only a lawyer would suggest that. He knew.
Now, I agree. But
Robert Kraft, damn, did he call out the league and Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
Goodell's gone within the year. By next year, Goodell does not start next year's season.
All right, I'm sorry. I had to look at your notes. I just realized I spelled San Diego wrong.
I just did it. I didn't. Like, when I'm writing my notes for myself, there is no proofreading. I just kind of like, you know, I just go.
You just go.
I just go. I don't even finish half the word.
See, I'm the exact opposite. Like, if I misspell a word like halfway through, I have to throw the whole piece of paper out and rewrite the whole page.
I mean, I would do that if I'm turning it in to somebody else to read.
No, this is
if
like
I was writing
my own.
A speech.
This is like
See,
me.
There's no way I can't do that. I'm not that much of a perfectionist. I'm okay with sucking a little because I can cope with that. You know what I mean? I can overcome.
Yeah. Now, we're going to go and drop two headlines on you from Steelers training camp.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, how about, did you hear about Antonio Brown's car?
No, I didn't. I heard something. I haven't heard the whole story.
Well, he pulled up in the camp a $500,000 customized black and gold Pittsburgh Steelers Rolls Royce.
That's gangster. I love it. He's like, pay me. Stay in here. Is the second one about Le'Veon Bell?
Yes,
and
sir.
And his 2-game suspension now?
Yes, and tell me that doesn't shoot him up draft boards for fantasy
draft
football.
Board, and you know what? Kraft said it best. Oh, my God. Bring it right back. This should have been right with the first headline about Tom Brady. How are you going to give Tom Brady 4 games because you think he might have messed with air levels of a fucking football? Or you're going to give less games. You're going to go from 3-2 to a guy who got caught red-handed smoking weed in his car. Red-handed. So red-handed, like, they should have just took a picture of him. The only way it could have been more red-handed. And, hey, guess what? If there was a picture of Le'Veon Bell with the blunt in his hand in the car, he gets 6 games, not 2. So this is why, and I'm telling you right now, I'm calling for it, hashtag no more Goodell.
Oh, I agree.
Hashtag fuck Goodell. Now, no one's going to do that one because of enough prominence is going to hashtag anything with the F-bomb in it.
James Harrison might.
James Harrison is on that.
He's actually started that. It's still going strong. He just needs some support.
He needs some good writer.
Yeah.
Hey, if James Harrison ever hears this, if anybody knows James Harrison's people, put him in touch with Wiz Whiff and tell him we're ready to do the Hate Goodell campaign.
Absolutely. Now, how about Greg Hardy? He missed the whole last year for the domestic violence.
Well, did his suspension get changed or anything?
4 games, down from 10-4.
So wait, so you're going to tell me
you didn't know this?
I thought I heard something about but I really thought that I had heard wrong. I had forced myself
now,
to forget this information.
Besides the fact that he should be in jail, okay, that's just...
We'll just stop with that.
Yeah, we'll just,
because
that's beside the
Michael
point.
Michael Vick got 2 years in jail for beating up dogs.
Yes. This dude
beat up
his girlfriend.
Multiple girlfriends, multiple times.
Yes.
And he's still on the streets, and he only gets 4 games.
Yes.
How is that comparable? Like, is there any way Goodell can save face after a year this looks like this?
No.
They tried. And you know what they tried to do? They put Brady destroyed his cell phone and we asked for it. They put that false story out. Kraft said they put another false story out about all the initial PSI measurements were false. And they never said nothing about that.
I did read that.
Like, I'm telling you, they're going to get torn a new one in court. And the New England Patriots, this is probably going to end up with Goodell's head. And I think he knew that, and I think he had to stand his ground because he knew no matter what happened, he had already pissed off his only friend. True. And the NFL has a chance to put this whole 3-year PR nightmare away by firing one person.
Yes.
So whenever you ask a company, are you going to pick one person for the good of the company?
Bye-bye.
Even Steve Jobs. Fired from Apple.
Absolutely.
So you're going to tell me, how's Roger Goodell going to keep his job?
He's not. Now,
if Roger Goodell wants to co-host our show after he gets fired from the NFL, you know, I'll let him on.
Yeah, I mean, we could use
him. No, we'll give him a trial run.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm going to say two names to you, okay? And you tell me who's going to have a bigger season.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go, I don't know if we're going to go necessarily position by position. But better season, Andre Johnson, Alshon Jeffrey.
I wanted to start and jump out Andre Johnson, but that's a tough question because Alshon's now without Brandon Marshall.
But he does have Kevin White.
He does have Kevin White, so you wonder if it's Kevin
White.
John
Fox
turn.
Is now the coach there.
But see, I almost think it's going to be Kevin White who's the one who's open with Alshon getting doubled. So I'm going to go Andre Johnson because I think that T.Y. Hilton is going to see the coverage and Andre is going to eat up number two corners for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He's just going to demolish. Everybody thinks he's old. He was in the Calvin Johnson discussion. Like, there was a time where people were like, Calvin's not as good as Andre Johnson. And he's had no quarterback in his career. So now he's got the best quarterback in the career. You're talking about a guy who can catch everything. So it doesn't matter. He's never been the fastest receiver. Jumped the highest. He was just the best at catching the ball and pinpointing the high point. He's almost like a Larry Fitzgerald. But now he's got his Kurt Warner.
Yeah, I mean.
Now he's got Andrew Luck where he can just jog down the field.
He's never had a great quarterback. Now he has elite level quarterback play.
I mean, it doesn't even cover it.
No.
He has a guy where he can jog down the field.
And the ball's there waiting for him.
You know, Andrew Luck is going to escape the rush, and now look down 60 yards down the field and just high point it to Andre Johnson, and it's going to be like playing catch in backyard. Like, they can do, and whenever they had a quarterback in Houston who even did that for, like, one play in the game, all it took was one time. You get outside the pocket and give Andre Johnson 5 seconds, and he's running wide open down the field somehow.
Right.
He's like a high-performing, highly talented Reggie Wayne.
Yeah. Now, who's going to have a better coming-home story, LeBron James or Darrell Revis?
Well, LeBron already lost. I mean, I don't know how you – I mean, I guess you're saying from last season, now this is his first season.
Yeah.
LeBron really saved a lot of face by doing what he did. But he's going from negative to positive. Darrell Revis never looked negative. He got traded. So the better coming home is definitely Darrell Revis. Just because the love was never lost. And LeBron lost. And now the Jets have a chance with a new coach now who's not a lollygagging jerk-off who breeds idiots in his locker room. A.K.A. Rex Ryan. And what do they do? The first move is, let's draft the biggest ego left in the NFL. Shady McCoy. Let's trade for him.
Yeah.
So that's ego, another egocentric team. So that's going to bring the Bills down and push the Jets up.
Yeah.
And this is the year with Tom Brady about to miss four games. This could make a run.
Who is a better season, Shady or the Eagles running back?
It's unfair. I guess you're not going to go number for number, obviously, because it just wouldn't be fair to Shady. But
Shady is going to get more touches
than any one of the running
backs.
I think that the Eagles running game is a more efficient running game, more yards per carry than Shady has in the year. I think Shady has more catches this year, though, than he had in years past. They're going to use him all over the field. He's going to be the workhorse. And who knows? He could have an amazing season, but it's going to be on a 9-7 team.
Yeah. Now, is this the year that Andrew Luck jumps up to the best quarterback in the league? Or
no.
Is that still Aaron Rodgers?
It has to be Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I love Andrew Luck. He's the closest thing to it. But, I mean, the year that Aaron Rodgers had and the end of the year that he had, playing at the best defense in the league, and you know, if not for such a conservative game calling in the second half, they would have been playing in the Super Bowl. And they were the team that beat the Patriots, if I'm not mistaken, with an 80-yard touchdown. Jordy Nelson beat Darrell Revis.
That's very true. Now, this is my last one for you. This is my last one for you. Who rushes for more yards? Melvin Gordon? Yeldon? T.J. Yeldon from Jacksonville? Or Todd Gurley?
Got to be Melvin Gordon. He's just got the best situation. Todd Gurley, he's going to be let into the league slow because they have other running backs, and he has that injury concern. Yeldon's another guy who has a more of a pass-happy attack. San Diego wants to run the ball, and they want a workhorse. So I have to go Melvin Gordon. But, you know, we're starting to wrap up today's show, and it's been great being back with you. This is going to be such an exciting training camp. You've never seen so much turnover. This is Chip Kelly's team now, and WizWit Radio is behind it. And we're going to be down at the first open camp.
Yeah, we'll be down there.
So hit us up on Twitter or Facebook at WizWitRadio.com, and you can follow us down there.
Yeah,
we'll party with you and do some tailgate.
Yeah, we'll be down there August 4th. Gates open at 10. We'll be arriving around 8:30, so come find us. We'll be down there checking out Chip Kelly's press conference. We bring one of our good friends Earl with us down there, so just look for us. We'll be the ones wearing the Eagles jerseys and everything. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to another great WizWit radio episode. And we will catch you guys when the Eagles get into training camp.
Oh, yeah.
Broadcasting live, as always, from the Red Sound Studios. I'm your host, Justin Emery, with my co-host, Michael Irano. Go get a cheesesteak and keep it WizWit.